Hey, it's the Pete here for the Pete Podcast from thepete.com. After last week's sort of confessional in a way, I feel even more disconnected from the things that used to get me fired up about being involved with life, you know, a greater life. I think it's a funny thing. I feel like the older I get, the less interested I am in what goes on in politics, just simply because, well, for two reasons, really. Because I am just realizing how little it matters whether we really take part or not. I mean, we could try and we can go to protests and we can vote and we can write our letters, but ultimately it just seems like this giant political machine, you know, will just keep on doing what it wants. I mean, look at the Occupy movement. They were, you know, huge, and they, you know, occupied Zuccotti Park, and then they spawned a bunch of, you know, affiliates across the country, and actually I think in other countries as well. But ultimately, what did they do? They did something great in rephrasing or rearranging the national or the global argument about class and wealth by introducing the concept of the 1%. That was awesome. But ultimately, not much has really changed except for, you know, our awareness of the problem, which is, you know, not nothing, but it's also not actual change. And as a result, it's just sort of like, you know, and this isn't new, this kind of lack of change. It's just sort of like, you know, when we voted for Obama, I knew there wouldn't be change, but I was hoping for it. And frankly, my standards were set pretty low for Obama. And he, you know, he did fine. If you go back and look at my blog from, you know, 2008 and before he got elected, you know, you'll see that, you know, I was pretty, you know, I really wasn't expecting much. All he had to do was, you know, be a black guy in the White House. And, you know, ultimately, I will not be disappointed. In fact, I expected him to do things that would, you know, morally disappoint me, abstractly disappoint me, and he has. You know, and I've talked about those, the drone program, Guantanamo, and a few other things. Ed's, you know, not just letting Ed Snowden come back to the country, and I'm not a big fan of Obamacare, you know, though I'm glad it's helping people. Anyway, the point is, you know, the change that has happened is nice, and, you know, but it's ultimately just baby steps. And I'm just, you know, I like I said last week, it's like I'm just getting tired of, you know, doing so much work just to see baby steps when there's just so much wrong being done in the world, done in our country, in our names, you know. And it's like I got to see the Snowden movie Oliver Stone made, and it just brought up all these feelings of like how futile this all is, because we still have no proof that the NSA isn't listening to every single, you know, phone conversation, or at least tracking every phone conversation we have, and every text message, and every, you know, email we send, and every browser page we load, and or page we load in our browser. You know what I mean? Anything, I mean, yeah, we can encrypt stuff now, which is great. You know, Signal is good. Use some sort of Tor browser like Epic or something, you could do that. Even just setting up a simple VPN like, I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, the point is, real life, my own life, sort of slipping by, has made me sort of feel like, I need to focus on IRL, you know, in real life. I need to focus on my personal life more, and I have been, and I've got this, you know, lots of stuff going on that actually has very little to do with my creative stuff, and you know, I'm trying my best to find the time to keep the podcast going, keep Ballpoint Adventures going, ballpointadventures.com, but it's difficult. You know, I've basically stopped blogging for the most part. I still photo blog through, you know, posting to Instagram and have it automatically tweet and automatically copy to my blog. But I don't long form blog like I used to. I just can't find the time. I just can't make the time. I can't sacrifice that time away from my wife and just having fun with life, you know. You know, I used to enjoy the fight so much more, and now I enjoy not the fight. You know, I enjoy just, you know, playing with Lego and, you know, enjoying the time I have with my wife, you know, and, you know, it's just, I just sort of, my priorities have changed, and I'm still focusing on the election. It's just a total mess. And now that we're in the second 5 minutes of the Pete podcast for this week, I want to jump into that, and just talk about Donald Trump for a sec. I know we're all absolutely tired of this guy. But it's an interesting thing that he's done by making an absolute mess of himself and in his campaign and of the election. He's done a great service to the powers that be, to the 1% I was talking about earlier, by distracting us from the futility of this whole process, you know, making us all feel like, oh my God, I better vote, you know, for Hillary and look at this circus and oh my God, what a mess. And, you know, and him talking about it being rigged has gotten, the election being rigged has gotten a bunch of people to say, oh, the, you know, supposed experts saying, oh, our election system is sound, even though, it hasn't been. I mean, it never really was. It's probably, I'm more worried about it now just because there's less honest scrutiny on it, because now he's sort of devaluing scrutiny on the election system in a way, by making it sound like crazy conspiratorial stuff. If we say, hey, is our vote really secure? You know, because in years past, long time followers of me know that I followed all this stuff very closely after 2000 and 2004. Yes, I've been blogging for that long, or I've been online for that long. You know, it's been, you know, a long journey, and that's why I'm so damn tired. But that's the thing. It's like, so Donald has done this amazing favor to people like himself, rich folks, you know. Because I think if he had just been like immediately, you know, deemed a loser in the press at the beginning of him being the nominee, it would have been really fair. It would have been logical for the press to just write off Trump, you know, because he is an idiot and a racist and you know, possibly a rapist. And it sounds like he's probably a racist, a rapist anyway. You know, and so, crap, I lost my train there. I guess my point ultimately is that Hillary should have had a coronation, you know, but instead he made a mess of things and made everything just a joke, an absolute joke. I mean, Hillary kind of, in a lot of ways, deserves a coronation because she's so amazingly more qualified to be president compared to Donald and compared to most of the other candidates as well, frankly. I mean, even Bernie, as much as I would have loved to have seen him be president, he's not exactly what you define as presidential. That's not a bad thing. I would love to have seen him in, you know, in the White House, like I said, but he just wouldn't fit the stereotype, I guess. And so neither does Donald Trump. He you know, just, you know, I'd even need to go into why he's not presidential. Hillary, on the other hand, fits the bill. I mean, aside from her gender, she basically can be described as any other previous president, you know, corruptible, but likable for the most part. She lies, but then she doesn't. You know what I'm getting at here. It's, you know, I don't know. I applaud anyone who can stay focused on the news and follow it and stay vocal and stay energetic about fighting for the future of America, but I'm tired, man. And this week has only made it worse, so yay. Anyway, still drawing, still recording, still, you know, posting stuff, not giving up, but anyway, thank you very much for listening. Please leave a comment wherever you're listening to this. Follow me on Twitter if you get a chance. Say hi. Love to hear from you. Hope you're having a good day or night, whenever, wherever you are in the world.